Well, before I do that, you know, it's not a sister church, but they are sisters in the Lord, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know Jag, and he goes over here to Beth Ariel Messianic Congregation, and he knows that we loved Kathy and I going to their Seder dinner that they had last year, and it isn't that we wouldn't want you to go to that, but it is Good Friday. And we will have a worship celebration too. But if you've never been to a Seder, these cards are back on the information table, and you might want to be considering this. It is a marvelous, beautiful time to sit with Jewish believers and goyims, those of us who are non-Jews as well, and be a part of an evening that was absolutely last year phenomenal. But that's not the takeaway from our own time together on Good Friday either. So, Jag, thanks. So, have you got your message notes out? If you do, for you who are new with us, we are in the midst of what we're calling Class 101. It is our discovering commitment, and it will become our membership class that people who are seeking a relationship with this church family in a formal way will get to go through. It's important that people know exactly where a church is going. What is it that it's all about? How does it plan to get there? Does it have a vision? Does it have a mission? Does it have core values? And I can answer to you this morning who are new with us, it does. It absolutely does. However, you've missed a good deal of it. It's all online if you'd be interested to want to look at more of this. But we are right now looking at session 4. Next week, we will pick up with session 5 and hopefully complete that next week, if not the week thereafter. Last week, if you would turn with me. Well, I'll just go through this with you very quickly. If you turn over here to page 2 of your notes, we began to look at the 4 covenants that we embrace here at Granada Hills Community Church. The first covenant is the membership covenant. And we went through that we are making a very real, not some plastic type of commitment, but a real commitment to Jesus Christ. And you might be saying, well, that should be, you know, a given. Any Christian church should be committed to Christ. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. But a lot of people have a lot of different definitions of commitment. We're talking about devotion. We're talking about loyalty. We are talking about the total giving over of ourselves as is expected in the Word of God towards Jesus Christ in receiving Him. We don't receive Him in part, we receive Him in the whole. And He expects all of us to be given to Him as a living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to Him, because He made us acceptable through being the perfect sacrifice on the cross for your sins and for mine. So He is looking for us to make much of Him with our lives throughout each day of our lives that remain here on earth. So we are in this membership covenant. We're to be committed not only to Jesus Christ, but also to His bride. With all of our warts and wrinkles and so forth right now, we are to find ourselves in a local body of believers, a part of his bride, and be committed to it. Not haphazardly, but to come in and be a part and give our lives to Christ in the midst of where that church family is being called through a vision and a mission for Christ and what they are to accomplish for Him while they are here on this earth. So we are to be committed to Jesus Christ. And we found during our membership covenant that we were saying, I will protect the unity of my church. Over on page 3, we looked at, I will share the responsibility of my church. And then I will serve the ministry of my church. And then I will support the testimony of my church. And I've given you passages of Scripture to go to wet your whistle, that can lead you to other passages of Scripture that support all of these things that we're talking about. There is nothing in our membership covenant that is extra-biblical. What we ask of the people who become members of Granada Hills Community Church is that they simply be biblical. And that is, when we look at the Bible, we're not looking at a book that has black print on a white page. We're looking at the God-breathed word, inerrant, infallible word of God. This is his authority to us, and this is what he has called us to. So we want to be a biblical church growing in that. We saw what it means to be a member last week. We saw the difference between consumers and spectators, because they're the attender. The person who becomes a member, they are someone who is a contributor and a participator in the work of the Lord in this particular church. We want to break the mold that we go to these churches and all we do is sit back and we say, you take care of me. No, when we go to church at Granada Hills Community Church, we don't come to get, we come to give. We are here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, even during the other days of the week when we're on this campus, because we are living for him. We are seeking the supremacy of Jesus Christ in all things, not just Sunday morning or a part of Sunday morning, but every day of our lives during the week, so long as we are here on earth. And then it'll be even easier when we're with him in heaven. I wrote there on page 4 that at GHC we recognize the need for formal membership. We ask you to commit to membership for 4 reasons. The first is a biblical reason, a God-breathed reason. The second is a cultural reason. The third was a practical reason, and then a personal reason over on page 5. And again, I reiterate, we won't ask you to do anything that the Bible doesn't teach. You won't be expected to do anything other than what the Bible teaches us who are his kids. So, having said that, we're going to pick up this morning with the maturity covenant. The maturity covenant. The maturity covenant, and here's your fill-in, is a commitment to the habits necessary for spiritual growth. We need to be growing. We've talked about church growth, numeric growth. That's important. It's important that we're going to leave a legacy on this corner that reaches out into our community, into our city, into our state, into our country, and around the world. And that's going to take numeric growth. But what is really necessary and important is the health of the church. And the church is you. And it is me. It is the individual parts of the body of Christ. Every individual who has been born again. We are the ones that are to be forming these habits for spiritual growth. There are some basic habits that if you do them, you will naturally grow spiritually. It will just be natural because God the Holy Spirit lives in us who belong to him, and he is ready, he is willing, he wants to help us to progress and be successful in this spiritual growth. He loves that, and you will too, even more and more, as you've discovered, those of you who have been pursuing it. Spiritual growth is important to see and for you to recognize it in your life, the life of your friends and anyone else that is a Christian. You know, a baby, when it is conceived in mom's womb, this little baby begins from that very conception. I mean, there's cell division going on, and this baby is growing. This baby is moving. This baby is on his way. And during that 9 months in the mother's womb, it has gotten to be, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've even had a 10-pounder in the church, haven't we, Barbara? So, there is this growth, and after the baby is born, he or she continues to grow. This is normal. But if the baby begins stopping to grow, that's not normal, right? We look at our child and it's 10 years old, but it looks like a 3-year-old. There's something wrong there. And the same is true for us as we grow spiritually. There are people who are in Christ Church in America who have been Christians for 50 years, professing Christians, but they're still babies. Something's wrong. Something's very, very wrong. In fact, that Christian, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, I mean it very lovingly, and there needs to be some spiritual medical help brought to bear, but that Christian is sick. Very sick, if they're truly born again. Because we should be growing, just as we do physically, we should be growing spiritually. And I would encourage you, if you want to know what some of the habits are, look at Romans chapter 12 and pick up at verse 9 and through verse 21. Just write it down and then go there this afternoon. Read it over in each and every little piece of that, those verses as you read them. This is who you are in Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you to become more and more like. But I'm going to talk specifically about some things going to other passages. Look at your notes. You see there 2 Peter 3:18? When we read scripture aloud for those of you who are new, we read it aloud together. It's important. And we read it with some strength in our voice. So let's read 2 Peter 3:18 together. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We are to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is in what we call the present active indicative. Imperative. We are to be growing continually, he's saying, in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It isn't a suggestion by the Apostle Peter. It is a command from God the Holy Spirit, who is bearing along the Apostle, to tell us that this is required. This is something you should want if you're truly born again in Christ Jesus. We need to be growing in His grace and knowledge. And we're supposed to be growing till the day, it says here, of eternity. I mean, we're to be growing even after we leave here to join our Lord in heaven. We will continue this process. We are told in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He who began this work in you shall complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. We are told in chapter 2 of Philippians that we are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We are to be growing. This is part of what a truly babe in Christ, toddler in Christ, teenager in Christ, adult in Christ is wanting to do. And if we're not, we need to ask ourselves the question, why not? Very important. Very important. So continue to grow is a process. Even Paul said when he was coming to the end of his life that he had not fully arrived. I can't imagine that. But nonetheless, it's true. Paul said it's true of him. So we all have room to be growing. Look at 1 Timothy 4:7. Let's read this aloud together. 1 Timothy 4:7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Now, guys, how many of you go to the gym? Not many. That's okay. That's okay. It's understood. But just as you go to the gym and you work out, you know, you get in there, you don't walk around the gym, you know, for an hour and a half and then walk out of the gym and, ooh, boy, that was tough. Now, I know some people that would probably try to do that. But, you know, we go in there and we start working out with the weights. You know, I often wondered why they called them dumbbells, is, you know. Yeah, we're sitting there and we're straining, you know, we're doing, you know, first set of 15 or 20, and then the second set, and then the third set, and the fourth set, and we're sweating and all of that. And then we'll go on and we'll work on our shoulders, and we'll work on our chest, and then we'll work on our gut, and then we'll work on our legs, and then we'll get on the elliptical machine, and we're trudging away. We're just filling up that t-shirt with sweat. It's running down the back of our necks. And some of you guys know what that's like, even now. Some of you remember what that used to be like. But the thing is this, guys and ladies, we are to be, as he is saying here, we are to find ourselves growing in godliness. And that takes effort. That takes work. This is what we're supposed to be all about. We are to be training ourselves in godliness. He's talking about gymnasia, which is the gymnasium. Again, talking about sweating. It's hard work. But the Spirit of God is there to help us to get through these times as we grow in His grace and in His knowledge. So what are some of the things? What are some of the habits that we need to begin to develop or to continue developing, those of you who are doing them? And the first one is just talking to our Heavenly Father. Think about it. Time and time again in the Scripture, we see the saints of old praying, and we are told to pray. In other words, talk to our Heavenly Father. Enjoy talking with Him. Do this throughout the day. We're told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. We need to talk to our Lord. And some of you only cry out to Him when it's test day because you didn't study the last few weeks. The only time you cry out to Him is when you're in trouble. No, He wants to have a relationship with you. Just like those of you who are married. You know, you do not remember what it was like before you were married. You talked to each other. You enjoyed talking to each other. And then you got married. And then you don't necessarily always talk to each other. Now we're yelling at one another. And sometimes we do that to God too. And you can see that in the Psalms. And I'm not going to say that it's the best thing to do, but nonetheless, our Lord understands. He understands we are but dust. He made us. He gave us emotions. And He understands our perspective is not His. He sees the whole picture. We only see this little picture that we're walking in right now. But He wants us to talk to Him, and we need to do this daily. And I would encourage you to be doing it throughout the day, every day, talking with Him. Get up in the morning, good morning, Lord, as I was saying the other day. Here I am, I'm your son, I'm offering myself to you as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, having been made holy by you, acceptable because you're the one that by your grace upon my life, through faith, you have taken away my sins. And I have, through confession and repentance, confessing you as Lord and my Savior, having received this forgiveness, you taking the punishment upon yourself, the wrath I deserve when you were on the cross. Now, here am I. Use me this morning. Use me with my coworkers. Use me wherever it is that I'm going. I'm here for you today. Help me to put on, like I put on this shirt today, compassion. People will see in me and sense from me and receive from me a compassionate heart and kindness, and that I will walk humbly among the people that I am with today, and that I will walk meekly, and I will be patient, and that I will help my brothers and my sisters that I come across that need help. I will help them bear up under whatever it is, emotional pain, physical pain, to do something that needs to be accomplished for themselves, and to be forgiving just as I have been forgiven. And then, Father, that I would wrap it all up in love, that I'd be all tied up in your agape love, to where I'm seeking other people's best, their greater good at my expense, exactly as Jesus demonstrated, because it was your Son who demonstrated that and said that we are to be imitators of you as beloved children. You love us, and therefore you want us to walk, to live like Jesus. And He walked in love, and He gave Himself up for Himself seeking our best and our greater good at his expense, which was an offering and a sacrifice that was fragrant to you. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of your gospel, my Lord. All of that stuff is in Colossians and in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, family. It is to learn to talk to him through his own words, the things that he pours out in you. Because the second daily habit that you need to have, and you've heard this before, and to ad nauseum, you need to be people of the word. You need to be reading the authentic God-breathed message of Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, to you that's right here in this marvelous book. To read it aloud, just as when we are studying Joshua in chapter 1. You want to be successful in this Christian life? You want to be successful in growing spiritually? You want to be successful as a member of the Granada Hills Community Church? You want to be successful in your career? You want to be successful as a child of God? Then he says we need to study the Word of God day and night. We need to meditate on passages of the Word of God. And that is not what the church in America is about. If there's an illiterate church, if we can all be lumped into one church, it is the American church. And that is sad, because we have no excuse other than the fact that we would rather watch television or read other kinds of books or look at other kinds of magazines or play sports or something else rather than spend time with the Word and let the Holy Spirit talk to us. Well, I'd really like to hear God speak to me. Would you? Well, then why don't you take a passage like this and begin reading it like in Ephesians chapter 4 and say, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner, in other words, live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I mean, you want to hear the Lord? Read it out loud. You will hear the Lord. Ron needs to walk in a manner worthy of his calling. I've been called to be, not your pastor, yes, that, but I've been called to be a son of the living God. You've been called to be sons and daughters of the living God. And then he goes through these things here. Develop these things as habits. Do these things under the inspiration of God, with the help of God the Holy Spirit. So we are to be people of the Word, we are people of prayer, we are to find ourselves putting on these things that I talked about. You know, begin the day by saying, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to see you in my life today. I want to be a blessing to all the people I come in contact with. I want these people to see that I love them. I want there to be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, all being manifested from me because you live in me. This is you, and I want to be that receptacle through which you do those things and make me a blessing to others, because then they will see me as your light in the world, and they won't give glory to me, they'll give glory to you. These are things that he wants us to do as a matter of habit. He wants us to be in small groups. He not just here corporately worshiping as we see the first church doing. You know, they would go up to the temple, but basically they're going up to the temple to share Christ because the sacrifices were all done for them. There was one sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ. He was God's Lamb. And so they met together in small groups because they met in homes. They didn't have facilities. They didn't have campuses. That didn't come until the 3rd century A.D., they met in homes, and there they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. To be devoted means that they were loyal to it. They were really in love with the apostles' teaching. And so they were not only reading it, but they're living it out. They were taking it in and then living it out. And people were coming to faith in Jesus Christ by the droves, by the thousands. And we don't see that today, do we? Because we don't see Jesus Christ in those that are the his bride in America in large part. We see it every once in a while. We see it in so many of you who are part of the GHCC family. But it is not something that runs across America in the American church. So we need to be part of small groups. And we have small groups, and some of you are not in small groups. You don't want anything to do with them. Why? Why would you not want to, as a disciple of Christ, continue to be discipled? Why would you not want to have a discipler? Why would you not want to be in a small group where you can grow to be more and more like Jesus Christ and held accountable? Why would you not want to be in the men's group, men? What is your real reason? Be honest before God. Why are you not in the men's group on Tuesday night? I understand some of your work. I understand that some of you have something that just can't be, you can't get away from it. But what is the real reason for the rest as to why you're not in a small group? Is it because you are in a shepherd group? I don't think so. Do you want to start a shepherd group? Why don't you come talk to me? Small groups are so important. The church met in small groups. The church met and they broke bread together, they ate together, they had communion together, they grew in the Lord together, they prayed for one another. This is the first church. That is the church. That is what our Lord would prefer for us, to be in small groups, people of prayer, people of the Word, living out the Word. He wants us to be involved. As I've shared earlier, we have a vision, which requires our mission, and we have six core value teams to live out this mission that he's given us. You're invited to be a part of any, several of the core value teams. Please, they need you. They want you. They want you to be a part. So that's the second covenant. The third covenant here at GHCC is a ministry covenant. And here's your fill-in. The ministry covenant is a commitment to discovering and using my God-given gifts and abilities in serving God and others. Serving. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let's read this aloud together. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, he's not talking about having received new shoes or a new hat or a new car or whatever. He's talking about those of us who have received a gift, a spiritual gift, a charismata gift. And this gift that he has given us came at the moment that we were born again. Just as when you were born physically, you received certain abilities, certain physical gifts. You're given the gift, most of us anyway, the gift of sight and the gift of being able to hear, the gift of smell, the gift of taste. And some of you were given the gift to be able to work with your hands and to build things. You know, like John's been taking care of our drywalling and all that stuff out there. I can't do that. Well, I could do it, but then you'd have to hire someone to fix it. But, you know, we were all given skills, but they have to be developed. And likewise, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, he gave us spiritual gifts. Now, some of us, he gave us a cluster of them. I know he gave you at least one. Do you know what it is? Most of us, I believe, were given more than one particular gift, but they need to be developed. Some of you were given the spiritual gift to lead. Others of you to teach. Some of you have the spiritual gift of giving. Others of you have the spiritual gift to preach. And others to be an evangelist. And yet some of you have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Some of your brothers and sisters have the gift of organization, administration, if you will. Some have the spiritual gift of counseling. And there are many other gifts that are spoken of in the Word of God. And you can discover what yours is, say, by being part of a small group, by getting yourself into a core value team and ministering, serving. You'll find, wow, this is right down where my attributes are. This goes along with my abilities. This is what I really like doing. This fits my personality. This is just right for me. You get this on-the-job training by people who will love you through your training period and afterwards. Now notice he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 and 27, he says, "And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That's something that we need to not just glance at, but we need to hold on to. I am. You need to say to yourself in your mind, I am a member of the body of Christ. I am a significant, say with me in your mind, a significant member of the body of Christ. There are no insignificant members in the body of Christ. Zero. Zero. The Bible tells us, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, hey, dude, I don't need you. You know, the ear can't say to the eye, hey, you know, nice having you, but, you know, you're unnecessary. No, it's not that way. We are all necessary parts of the body of Christ. Now, some of you may be saying, well, that may be true, but, you know, I'm just this toenail. That's what I am. Well, let me tell you a story. When I was in high school, you know, I was a surfer. And I can't remember if I was a County Line or Leo Carrillo or Malibu. It doesn't matter. But I stepped off my board, and it was lower tide, and I really smashed one of my toes. And it started turning blue, and it was split. And you know what water does to blood, right? It makes it look worse than it is. Someone's going to faint. You know, get the paramedics. No. But, you know, I really smashed that puppy. And the doctor had to take the nail off. Okay, now, if you've ever lost a nail, or if you've just smashed a toe, you're not able to run anymore. And as a cross-country runner, that was not a good thing. Coach was not happy that his number one runner couldn't run in the next few heats. You limp around. You're crippled. You're crippled. And if we have people that are in the church, all gifted, and they're not ministering their gift, then they're cheating the rest of us. Now, I know that's hard, but it's the truth. You're cheating the people around you in the church family.
Well, I won't be part of Granada Hills Community Church. I'll go over here to the mega church.
Well, you go over there too, but you see, the truth of the Bible still remains. You need to be ministering your spiritual gift. Doesn't matter if you're in an itty-bitty church or in a great big church. You're supposed to be ministering your gifts, your spiritual gifts. That's why he gave them to you. He didn't give them to you to sit on. If I don't exercise my spiritual gifts, then I'm cheating you. Now, some of you would rather I didn't preach, but that's a gift. And so I have to use it, not because of you so much. I have to do it to honor him, to demonstrate my love of him, because to be obedient is a definition of loving him. If you love me, he said, you will obey me. Number four, the missions covenant. The missions covenant is a commitment to share the good news with others. Read with me Acts chapter 1, verse 8, okay? Let's read this together. But you will... Wow. Did you hear that? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. When you came to faith in Jesus Christ,
power, the power of God. Almighty God gave you the power to share Him with other people. And this is what He wants us to do. Jesus made it clear, Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. And baptize them, who? The disciples. And teach them, who? The disciples. All the things that I've taught you. And make sure that they're aware I'm with them always, even to the end of the age. We are to be doing these things. He has given us the power from the Holy Spirit when He came upon us. We are to be sharing Jesus Christ. You have your own testimony. I have my testimony. He wants you to share what you were like before He saved you. That might be a good place to start. And then you share what you heard. Explain the gospel in your own words to this person. And tell this person how you have been changed by this person. God Almighty. This is what He's done in my life. I'm not perfect, but man, I am a long way from where I used to be because it's no longer the flesh that is leading my life, but it is God the Holy Spirit who is in me. And I have this tremendous power and this wonderful relationship with God. And then I talk to God the Father every day, and He speaks to me through His Word every day. And I'm a part of this wonderful group that loves me in spite of me. And they're helping me to grow up in Christ Jesus. And that's why, you know, that's why you like me, because I'm so loving, I'm so kind, I'm so patient, and so forth and so on. You'll receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, for our ears today, that's like saying, we will be His witnesses in the city of Los Angeles and its environs. You know, Canoga Park, Sylmar, Porter Ranch, North Ridge, North Hills, all of these little areas in the city of Los Angeles. And He says, I will give you power, and you will be my witnesses in all of Judea. That's like all of the county of Los Angeles and the state of California. And He says, and you will be my witnesses in Samaria and out to the ends of the earth. I mean, you'll go across the country and be my witness when you're on vacation, maybe, or on a business trip. You'll be my witnesses out there. And you just might get the opportunity to go to another country and speak of me there. Because where you go, I go. And where you are, I am. And you're my kid. And you want to love me. And the way one of the ways you love me is through obedience. And you've heard my call upon your life to share me. And you have the power. You can't say you don't. Oh, you can say you don't, but you're lying. You're lying to yourself because I've given you the power. The Word of God doesn't lie. And He says right here, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that took place at your salvation. So, why do we have these covenants? Well, I should go down here. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with what? Gentleness and respect, not with a bony finger, not with a judgmental kind of attitude. We share with them the answers that they're looking for from the Word of God, the way we interact with God Himself. And we'll have all of our answers as we immerse ourselves and we meditate on the Word of God day and night, as we memorize snippets of it, as we have a consistent way of reading through the Scripture day by day, just taking 3 or 4 chapters a day. Reading a couple chapters in the Old Testament, a couple in the New, whatever, however it is you choose to do it, but to read and immerse your mind, to be filled with the words of Christ. So why do we have these covenants? We have these covenants because we become what we are committed to. We become what we are committed to. You know, I used to be a Dodger fan.
And not any particular baseball team, football team, fan. I used to be. I mean, I used to buy at least 7 games a year, and I would take 5 other guys with me from the church, and we would go to these 7 games, and you know, that's being committed. You know, 1, you're putting out your money, and 2, you're going to the game, and you're paying the parking to get into that place. You know, usually it's giving your firstborn son, and then you go up, and I mean, you're committed, right? I mean, you're there, and you're drinking this soda pop that costs 10 times what it would cost you at the market, and you're eating this hot dog that would cost you 5 times what it would cost you at the market, and you're eating popcorn and all this stuff. I mean, by the time you're done, you've made a significant financial commitment. You're committed. I was a Dodger fan. I was committed. And it's the same way with regard to a church. So it's important. This may be one of the most important things I've shared with you this morning. And that is, you need to make your commitments extremely carefully. And that's why we have been doing this series, and we'll have this class. And I have always, in the past, had the class. Because we're not looking for people we're not just looking for people to be people. We're looking for disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, honest disciples, people who want to grow up in Christ and serve Him here, other places, just like the 4 churches we planted. But we need to be careful with our commitments. You need to choose, you need to choose the person you're going to marry very, very carefully. You have to be carefully that you're in love and not in lust. We have to be very careful about who our mate's going to be, because that is a commitment. And it's supposed to be till death do us part, not till I just get tired of you. So you need to choose your church carefully, because you will become what you are committed to. If you decide to commit your life to Granada Hills Community Church for the time being, you know, the Lord may move you to out of state or some other place, but if you're going to be committed to Granada Hills Community Church, then it's important that you realize that this church family will be shaping you. It will be shaping you into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, I wouldn't dare get on an airplane if I didn't know where it was going. Would you? So it's important to know where a church is going and how it plans to get there, and whether or not you should be on board. So much of everything that I've shared with you thus far is where God is leading us as a church. If you want to get on board, then come on. But we'll give you more opportunity to do that when we finish session 5. So what's left there in your notes is our structure. I was trying to be real cute at the time and put together this acrostic. But nonetheless, it kind of pulls out things that we have in our vision from and how we're working out in our mission and through our core values. And this is an acrostic that describes us in large part, but certainly not the whole, because I couldn't get it all in there. And I'm going to let you read all that on your own. So having said that, we conclude session 4. And next week, we will begin with session 5, which will be bringing our Class 101, Discovering Commitment, to a close. So, why don't you pray with me, family?